T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's 10 o'clock and time for us to make some history. Kind of. It's the pairing of two men, each with their own individual take on the Atlanta sports scene.
I'll take that.
For the next 4 hours, enjoy what we hope will be a great pairing of sports talk juggernauts. Well, that's what we're hoping for, at least.
Wow. You're handsome.
Durr.
Now, it's Andy and Randy. Andy Bunker.
I'm the first place individual.
And Randy McMichael.
You are that. You are that.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah. Good morning. Welcome in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy. My name's Andy Bunker. That's Randy McMichael. And it is Friday. We made it. Happy Friday. The weekend is right around the corner. Or as we call it here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game,
Thursday.
Second Thursday.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
Or first Friday, however you want to put it. I don't know. The good news is for you, because if you're a fan of the midday show with Andy and Randy, well, we come at you 6 days a week now. We'll be back tomorrow from noon to three. But a lot to get into today from now until 2 o'clock this afternoon. And I'm sure, I know John and Hugh were talking a lot about all the different stuff that went down yesterday. Of course, the Toronto Raptors are now NBA champions, first champions in both the NBA and the NHL this week.
How about that? Remember we talked about after the show, I was like, you got two organizations in back-to-back days that won their first title. And if I told you both teams, who would you think won the NBA championship? I know St. Louis doesn't have a team.
Sure. But would have thought the hockey team would have maybe come from Canada.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, good for Toronto. I mean, I know a lot of people were upset about the fans thing and was hoping they would lose because of that. But, I mean, they just were a better team. I mean, I know Clay going down. That's a big, big deal. But at the same time, you got to take your hat off to Toronto.
Yeah, absolutely.
You
got to
take your hat off to Toronto.
I'm not one of these asterisk people. It's certainly not my role to give those out anyway.
Who are those dumbasses?
I don't know. Who anointed you asterisk
exactly.
King?
Who anointed you to be like, oh, it's an asterisk?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Because it's a hot thing right now to do on social media. If somebody spells something wrong or says a word you don't like, you put an asterisk and correct the word next to it. So I guess people think now they can just do that in sports with everything that they don't like. Wow, injury. Yes, injuries. Yes. Injuries absolutely
happen. That's a problem.
And there's no doubt. Look, Klay Thompson was as hot as the face of the sun last night. I mean, he was just absolutely out of control for the first three games or the first three quarters last night. And look, he gets hurt, and it impacted the game, obviously. There's no question. The Warriors have the heart of a champion, though, to stay in that game and make it interesting. Did you see the lineup they started the fourth quarter with last night?
Raggedy.
Jonas Jerebko and DeMarcus Cousins, who's coming off. I mean, it was like that was not an NBA Finals beginning of a fourth quarter lineup that was on the court.
No,
but
really.
You know what? There are multiple Hawks parallels or Hawks relationships to this championship. Jeremy Lin gets a ring. He was a member of the Atlanta Hawks earlier this season. Kudos to Jeremy Lin. I mean, he was a super nice guy when he was here. Great dude. So cool for him to get a championship. I don't know that he played a single minute in the finals. I know he didn't play yesterday.
No, he did not.
Yeah. So, all right, whatever. Still gets a ring.
Exactly.
And apparently, Mike Conti brought this to my attention, sort of an interesting tidbit. The current head trainer for the Atlanta Hawks was the former head trainer for the Golden State Warriors.
Right.
And the Hawks had a nice relatively injury-free season last year. The Warriors, unfortunately, were plagued by injuries all the way through this entire playoff series. Now, I don't necessarily equate those two things
the
same way, but you know what? The Hawks have the Warriors' old trainer, and maybe Klay Thompson wants to come rehab with his former trainer here in Atlanta.
That'd be nice.
I'd still give him a max contract tomorrow if you want to
win. Yes. Yes. I mean,
Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, both.
Yeah, hey, whatever you want, man.
Whatever you want.
Whatever you want.
Sure. You want to come out and sit out next year because you have to rehab whatever injury you have? Klay Thompson's got an ACL, so Klay Thompson will actually be able to play next year.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at ACLs, how the medical technology of today, he won't be out that long.
No.
I mean, he'll probably be back by February sometime.
Yeah.
But, you know, KD, they're talking about he'll be out a whole year. I think he'll be back. I think he'll be back March sometime around that area. So, I mean, it's unfortunate. And of course, it played in the outcome of that game last night. But still, I think the Warriors would have. I'm sorry, the Raptors would have won that series eventually.
Yeah, I think that they would have won it in seven as well. And again, kudos to Toronto. Congratulations on their championship. First time champions in the NBA and in the NHL. Maybe the Falcons keep that going.
Why not?
This fall and winter with an NFL with the Super Bowl.
I said this the other day, man. I wanted Toronto to win, but somehow Drake lose.
I know.
Yeah, somehow let him lose.
Unfortunately, that's not what happened.
No. That's not what happened.
No, Drake very much won last night. Yeah. I was doing a concert immediately after the game. We'll get more into some NBA Finals conversation coming up in 15 minutes in What's Trending. I've got a hypothetical about Kawhi Leonard that I still don't necessarily have an answer to that I like. But it's fun to chew on. So we'll get into that coming up in 15 minutes. Atlanta United win in what sounded like a very unusual game yesterday. We'll get into that as well coming up in 15 minutes. But it is a big-time series this weekend for the Braves. Yeah. 7 wins in a row. They went 10-5 in this 15-game stretch that we highlighted as such an important part of the season against some slightly inferior opponents. So going 10-5 in that stretch was great. Catching the Phillies in that stretch was great. Now the Braves are in first place by a game and a half with Philadelphia coming in here to SunTrust over the weekend. And a chance, honestly, I mean, a chance to really distance themselves from the Phillies if they go out there and handle their business this weekend. You sweep the Phillies this weekend. I know that would mean 10 wins in a row. That's
exactly.
Very difficult to do.
Exactly.
But if you could do that, a 4.5 game lead in the division going into the summer would be a beautiful place to be. And the fact that the Braves are even able to look at this series and say that about this series just speaks to how well they've been playing lately.
They've been playing well. 69 runs over the last 10 games with some sketchy pitching. That dude came in yesterday, almost blew it again. But
you guys, sorry, Luke Jackson?
Yeah, man. It's just so frustrating. But at the same time, a win's a win. We won't apologize for it. Julio Teheran did Julio Teheran things as of late. And you get this team coming into your house on this weekend, which is going to be rocking over there at SunTrust Park. Pretty much the only show in town. So I'm anticipating that it's going to be sold out pretty much. Phillies coming in town. And they're still a good baseball team with a whole lot of talent.
Yeah.
That if that talent gets going, they can pose problems, especially those bats when you're talking about coming in, going against a pitching staff like this. Now, Max Fried is on the mound tonight. Got roughed up his last start. So let's see what he does. Then Newcomb's going to make his, is it a long-awaited debut since coming back?
Right. I think it is. And he certainly earned it.
Yeah, I think he's earned it.
Yeah.
And then our guy, most important start of his life, Bolton Davis is going on Father's Day.
It really is, though. I mean, especially if the first two games don't go the way that we want them to.
And then you put all the hopes on him.
You got to have Folty come back and save the series on Sunday.
Yeah.
And we sort of have jokingly said at times this season, biggest start of Folty's life.
Yeah.
This one on Sunday is really big.
It is.
Especially if, depending on how the first couple games go, if they don't go well, then it's really important because he's got to salvage the series. If Newcomb has a great start on Saturday, that puts a little bit more pressure on Folty on Sunday because Gausman's gone for the time being. He's on the injured list.
Yeah, plantar fasciitis.
He pitched his way out of that fifth spot right now with Keuchel coming into the rotation.
He got hurt.
Yeah, he got hurt. That's right.
He's out of lineup because of injuries.
There's no fabricated injuries. There's nothing like that. Of course, he's actually hurt. His plantar fascia is giving him a problem, and that's why he's on the injured list for 10 days. If you look at the Braves over the last month and a half, really.
Right.
Go back and look at the way they've played since they got swept by the Dodgers on the road. They're 22-10 since then.
We've been balling.
They're playing very, very good baseball. Now, a big part of that in the month of May was the starting pitching was giving you consistently good starting pitching. You're not giving up a whole lot of runs. They're going a little bit deeper into games. That hasn't been the case in June. And yet, in the month of June, the Braves are 10-2. Even though their starting pitching has completely regressed back to the mean,
right,
and has been average. It was above average in the month of May. It's been average in the month of June. And like you said, Randy, that's because, 69 runs over the last 10 games?
Yep.
That's pretty crazy. You're going to give yourself a chance to win when you score 7 runs a game,
yes,
which they've done. One of the weird things that stands out to me, and then we'll get back into the Phillies and the similarities between these two teams going into the series. If you go back and look at that stretch of play by the Braves, the last 9 games that they've lost, they're 21-9 in their last 30 games. In those 9 losses,
I mean blown saves.
6, yeah, that's where I'm going.
Yes, exactly.
6 of them are accounted for by blown saves from Luke Jackson and bad starts from Kevin Gausman and Mike Fultonevich. Six of the last nine losses, and that's in the last 30 games, have either been Gausman,
right.
Folti, or Luke Jackson. So that's a very concentrated area of frustration right now on the Braves roster. Now, the good news is you still won 21 of the last 30, okay. And there's still time to deal with that, and they're actively dealing with trying to figure out whether it's going to be Folti, whether it's going to be Gausman who gets to hang around with Keuchel now on the way. Now, Luke Jackson still is a glaring issue. I don't know what they're going to do about that and when.
They're going to keep trotting him out there. Yeah, you know? And that goes to this, that saying that we said yesterday, what's going to be maybe the demise of this good season? Is it going to be pitchers like Luke Jackson or Snickers loyalty to these guys?
Yeah.
Because we know how he is with these players. It was fun to see him get tossed yesterday.
It was fun.
It was. It was kind of fun to see him get tossed because he's such a nice guy and everything. Before him to get that upset to get thrown out, I loved it.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a struggle. And we said this before. We said it before the first Philly series. It's going to be that kind of year, you know, especially when you don't have the consistent effort. No, the effort is there. I'll give them that. The consistent output from the pitching staff. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, until they make the upgrades of it, we're going to have these days. We're going to come in here frustrated and everything because you put up six runs and then you lose six, seven, eight, nine. You give up seven, you know, seven runs because that's what this pitching staff was built. I mean, I love Mike Soroka. I love Max Fried. But our thing is, what are they going to do, like we talked about earlier this week, when it gets September? You know, Dallas Keuchel, yeah, he looked good against high school kids. He looked great.
Well, you mean it's not going to be that easy?
It's not going to be that easy when he gets here. I think some people assume.
Some people, yeah.
Yeah, that, oh, he's going to come in here and he's just going to be a dominant guy. I mean, I hope so. And it's like I text you, I was like, he better not suck.
You know, yes.
It'd be so bad because all season long we've been waiting for the Braves to do something. And they finally went out and did something and got a name. Now, he's solid. I mean, is he going to be the best guy on your pitcher's rotation when he gets up here?
Probably not. I mean, Soroka probably remains that. And if Julio Teheran continues to be what he's been, that he doesn't have to be, though.
So what would
he just has to be better than those back-end guys.
So tell me this. When he comes up, where are you going to put him at?
He's my third starter right
okay.
now.
Okay.
Yeah, he's my third or my fourth starter.
Is he going to be the fourth? Then Tehran's going to go up to your three?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think Julio Teheran, and we said this before the season, I said this before the season started. Julio Teheran is a third or fourth starter.
I always say he's a fourth starter.
He's a fourth. That's fine. Yeah, he's a fourth starter. So you've got your number one. You feel good about Soroka. Max Fried hasn't been as good lately, but you still feel pretty good about him being two or three, yeah. Right? Julio Teheran is three or four. Keuchel can be three or four. And then you're sort of asking questions about number five okay. and whether Newcomb fits into that role if he has a good start on Saturday. Folti still has the leg up because he's the one with a little bit longer of a track record of being able to start
right.
and do it at a major league level. But again, this start for Folti on Sunday is really important.
It is.
It's interesting to see, though, and think about how different this Braves team is right now than they were the last time they played the Phillies. The opening series.
Oh, they got thrashed.
Well, a big part of that was because two guys started that haven't started since then.
That's amazing.
It's Kyle Wright and Bryce Wilson started in that opening series. Again, maybe Kyle Wright made one other start, but Bryce Wilson hasn't. Like, it's pretty crazy to think that's how we started the season.
Who pitched that primetime Sunday game? Was it Bright?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
no, it was Kyle Wright.
It was Kyle Wright.
Night.
Kyle Wright.
That's
right. Yeah, he pitched that national televised Sunday night game. But, I mean. But again, where are they at then? I mean, are you going to give them another shot? Were they not ready? Did you rush them? I mean, it's so many different stories that situations that when we talk about these pitchers, it's like, dude, what's the deal with them? Because there's so many of them, but yet you're afraid to move them or afraid to use them to upgrade your team. And because you don't want them to go somewhere and be a Cy Young Award winner and all that stuff, and all they're going to say is, why did the Braves give them up? Because you wanted to get damn better. I mean, that's why. And sometimes you got to take a risk. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got to take a risk in order to make yourself better in baseball. It just is what it is.
Phillies and Braves have similarly frustrating bullpens. That's something yes. that's plaguing baseball in general. But I know we look at other teams you're competing with. They've got a similar problem that the Braves have in terms of their bullpen as well. Going to be a big series here in Atlanta this weekend. The Phillies in town for three. Braves are in first place by a game and a half. Could be 4.5 by Sunday night. That would be fantastic. We'll come back and get into what's trending. And, man, it was a big day yesterday. NBA Finals, Atlanta United played, the U.S. Open started.
Yes.
A lot to get into coming up next here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. What's trending right after this? Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Lifted toward left. Culberson is there, drifting back to the track, and the Braves have won it. sweep over the Pittsburgh Pirates.
There you have it. Four games against the Pirates. First time the Braves have swept the Pirates in four games since 1991.
Really?
The first time they've done that to those guys since 1991. You like that because, 1991, that's a nice fond memory.
It's like nice season.
In Braves history. Now, hopefully this season could come close to what that was, maybe even go further than what that was as well. But that's the way that it went yesterday at SunTrust Park as the Braves took care of the Pirates. Midday show with Andy and Randy here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now come along the Phillies. The Philadelphia Phillies come to town in second place. The Braves overtook them for first place a couple days ago, game and a half in front, and just a big fun series this weekend up there at SunTrust. Max Fried on the mound tonight, which I like. Sean Newcomb on the mound tomorrow, which I'm interested in.
Uh-huh.
Mike Foltynewicz on the mound on Sunday, which will be very important for Mike Foltynewicz.
Okay, I was wondering where you're going to go with that third one. But, it's a big-time series. You said that in the handoff. It's been a long time since the Braves have had a big June series like this. And, of course, everybody, the payback thing is on your mind.
Yes.
How about how they put foots in us and everything. But it should be a very interesting series because of the fact that the Phillies are really talented.
Mm-hmm.
They're not playing it to their talent level, I don't think, but they are a really talented team. And you don't want to be that staff or that team that allows them to show how much talent they have on that squad. But I'm excited for the Braves. I'm really excited to see what Sean Newcomb does because, like you said last segment, I think he has earned the right. You know, even with Kevin Gausman going down or whatever, even if he was still up, I still think that that Newcomb has earned the right to see if he can be a starting pitcher. Now, I didn't think he was going to get an opportunity to get that start because when Alex Anthopoulos was on with Dukes and Bell, he made it seem like
he
was going to be in the bullpen all season.
And that was like 3 days ago.
Yeah, and then we'll revisit this, you know, next season. But, good for him, man. And ticked off Sean Newcomb. He's been pitching well, so stay ticked off.
Yeah, angry Sean Newcomb was an amazing bullpen pitcher.
Yeah, stay ticked off. Don't be acting like, I'm back. Yeah, don't go in there with that mentality. Go in the mentality that I'm still ticked off because you took me out in the first place.
Phillies and Braves very similar in terms of their makeup right now. Offenses that can score all kinds of runs. Right. Starting pitching that's pretty solid. And then bullpens that are absolutely
atrocious.
Infuriating. Yeah. Gene Segura's been really good for the Phillies, bringing him in this year. Obviously, Rhys Hoskins hits the baseball like crazy. Bryce Harper.
They got talent. They got guys.
They definitely do. It'll be a fun series this weekend. We'll get back into that a little bit later on in the show.
I really enjoyed, you know, my first 3 years working with him here in Atlanta and was excited when he was coming back here. But it's been great. This offseason has been really good. I've learned a lot. They were a little bit different, you know, in Tampa. He adjusted to the personnel that they had and has brought a few things back that have kind of been good to learn from. And I feel like I've picked up a few things in the last 4 years, too. And
Matt Ryan there talking about Dirk Cutter being back. Dirk had to adjust to the personnel that he had in Tampa.
Oh, you read between the lines again.
Well, but now he doesn't have to do that so much. He can open up the playbook completely because he's got a quarterback that can make all the throws.
Yeah.
Did you see Matt Ryan throw the ball into a garbage can yesterday from 35 yards?
That's pretty cool.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah, but, you know,
it somehow resulted in an argument on Twitter. Like, I don't know how that video, which is just kind of a fun nothing
thing.
Video,
yes.
resulted in an argument about who Matt Ryan is or isn't.
Yeah, I saw some mess in guys. Oh, a middle schooler could do that. So?
Okay, I guess. I don't know.
Okay, so?
It's just a fun video.
They're just having fun with it. And it's usually something the quarterbacks do between periods. They'll find a target, just throw the football at it, man. I mean, just get over it. It ain't Matt Ryan's fault. He's a damn good quarterback, all right? So just get over it. And he ain't going nowhere. So you might as well just not go to Falcon games if you still hating on Matt Ryan.
That video is just a perfect encapsulation of if you hate Matt Ryan, how many takes did it take?
You know what I'm saying? Like, dude.
And if you love Matt Ryan, see? He's amazing. Like, all right. I mean, it's probably somewhere in the middle, closer to amazing, but it's not that big of a deal. Anyway, he's talking about working with Dirk Cutter and the comfortability. And it keeps coming back to that comfortability that he has with the offensive coaching staff now, that the offensive coaching staff has with him, and it just seems like is permeating in that building right now, which is good. That's really, really good. Now, how does it translate onto the field? Well, we won't know until September.
That's the most important thing. We won't know until September.
Yes.
But right now, everybody's saying the same thing. Everybody's saying the right thing. Because you are – I think that – I said it yesterday. I think the players on offense are more confident in a guy like Dirk Cutter because they know what his resume says, that he's one of the top play callers in all of ball. And I think they are excited to work with that. Not saying that they weren't excited to work with Sark. I think they were just skeptical about Sark. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, y'all, you're going to let him be the OC? Like,
yeah. And
what
I think that they were skeptical from the beginning, yeah. And then he gave them more reason to be skeptical. You remember the first year Sark was the OC, it was two anonymous players, and I know not everyone likes anonymous sources, but whatever. The reporter who reported this wasn't lying, who said, he's just not as organized as we're used to. Just sort of a disorganized offensive coordinator. I don't think that's what you want. You want somebody who's meticulous and on top of it, and now they've got all that experience in the building. I think that, and that's why they brought in Greg Knapp in year two, was to help the game planning process and be a little bit more prepared. Anyway, that's all in the past. Cutter is here now. Malarkey is here now. Greg Knapp is still here, and Matt Ryan seems to be comfortable with all of that. I'm going to get back into a Matt Ryan-related conversation in the NFL No Huddle coming up at the top of the 11 o'clock hour. Dak Prescott's talking about the money that he's going to get. We know that Carson Wentz got a whole bunch of money last week. I've got a theory as to why Matt Ryan's contract might be even better than it already was.
Because everything keeps going up.
And it might go up a lot.
It's going to – come on. When that dude in Kansas City come up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, but not just because of that. There's a couple different – we'll get to it in the NFL No Huddle, but there's a couple different factors at play here that might make Matt Ryan's contract really, really team-friendly in a couple seasons. Atlanta United played last night, and it's fitting that we don't have any audio from the broadcast because there was no one at the game. So we'll just tell you about what happened, and I'll be honest with you. I watched highlights and read a couple articles about it. It sounded like a pretty listless performance from Atlanta United, who allowed a very inferior opponent. And it was a Parkhurst told us, or told the morning show earlier in the week, now, we need to show them that they're not to our quality.
Right.
They didn't really do that. They made it look like Charleston Battery was to their quality with the way that they played down to their competition.
And that's
yesterday.
Exactly what it was. They played down to the competition. But, hey, they won a game with giving up a goal, though. That was the thing about it. So,
hey!
Yeah, they won a game with they gave up a goal and still won. From what I was reading and everything, it looked like, you know, when Charleston got that first goal that they kind of made it boring, you know.
Yeah, they bunkered.
They bunkered and everything. And for Atlanta United to find a way to get those three goals in, Brandon Vasquez with two of them, I mean, it is what it is. They're a better team. And I said this yesterday, I'm sure having nobody in that stadium made them, you know, come out a little flat possibly, and also the competition. But, hey, win's a win. They're moving on. But yeah, they got to play better against that team. They should have put foot to them.
They should have.
Yeah.
They end up winning 3-1. It had the look of a loss for a long time. They didn't score until the 79th minute to tie the game up.
Andy, now if they would have lost,
that would have been a disaster.
That would have been a disaster. Because I know we had Longshore in here the other day, and he was talking about the Charleston players are talking smack and everything. Imagine the smack talk they would have had if they beat the MLS champion.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
That would have been pretty.
Yeah, good. They dealt with that. They got that out of the way. And there was a lot of other factors at play, too. I mean, going up to Charleston, not being able to play, riding a bus back, not exactly knowing what was going to happen, and then playing that game randomly in front of no fans. It made for a very weird experience. They won the game, though. That's what matters most.
Cousins inbounds the ball. Curry heaves it at the buzzer. It's no good. Franchise history. League history. The Toronto Raptors are NBA champions. A city, a province, a country celebrates. The NBA championship is due north.
That sounds so made up.
The Toronto Raptors win 114-110.
Yeah, you know, like when Mike Conti has great calls and you wonder, where'd that come from? And they're off the top of his head.
Right.
Or Steve Holman or Wes Durham or any of the guys around here. He had that one written down. A country, a province, a city, a country, a province. That was premeditated right there.
Yeah.
Now, still, congratulations to the Toronto Raptors. That's from Toronto Raptors Radio Network, by the way. I got a lot of different things to say about that game last night. I don't really know where to start. What is Kawhi Leonard now to that franchise?
God?
Say he leaves. He may very well leave this offseason.
Yeah.
Hypothetically.
They'll put a statue.
He gets a statue?
Oh, yeah, he gets a statue. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he'll get a statue. But I mean, really, how can you get mad at him? All right, he was there for 1 year, and y'all went to a championship, and y'all won it.
Uh-huh.
And he was a big part of it. But
he was the MVP of the finals.
You know what I mean? How can you get mad about that? But they'll find a way. But What do we know about Canadians? They're nice people. Now, some of those people
except
didn't
when Kevin Durant gets
you know, it was a minority of people doing it. All right, it was not the whole stadium. It was not the whole Jurassic Park. But no, I mean Kawhi was amazing. He had a quiet night. But when they needed a bucket, when they needed free throws made, he did that. But I go back. One of my takeaways was when Klay got hurt, and he came back out to shoot the free throws, and they were going to continue to play with him on the court until Boogie went and fouled the guy because they didn't want him to foul. Because you saw when he fouled, Draymond was looking like, what you doing? No, the dude was out there with a torn damn ACL. Y'all can't afford to have that 2 games in a row? No.
He was going to play.
He was going to play.
Klay was like, whatever. No. I'm going. It's torn, whatever. I just don't want you to tell me what it is so I don't have to know. I want to play.
Because nobody told him what it was. Because remember, before he got back to the locker room, he had to shoot the free throw. Yeah. And he ran back out there. And Draymond's point, well, you go right there in the zone. And Boogie just went fouled. Like, hey, man. Come on, you got
to
get out of here.
And it was the right move for Boogie to foul him and get him out of there. I mean, you don't want to do any crazy long-term damage to your knee, but Klay Thompson's tougher than hell for wanting to stay out there and play that basketball game.
He was ready to roll.
Is there anything that you can remember like the Kawhi Leonard time in Toronto? I threw that out there on Twitter last night. Like, hypothetically, if he leaves this summer, he comes to Toronto for 1 year, traded to Toronto, by the way.
Exactly.
Traded to Toronto. Goes there for a year, delivers a championship, the first championship in their franchise history, and then leaves in free agency. Like, what? Aroldis Chapman with the Cubs, kind of.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that with that championship that they won. Yeah. Although.
He got rocked in the
and
World
Series. And he's a relief pitcher.
Yeah.
Like, Kawhi Leonard is the best player on the team. He's a relief pitcher. Cam Newton at Auburn, kind of, but
Cam
it's college.
I think Cam Newton at Auburn, that was a big deal.
That's the one that made the most sense to me.
When he showed up on the campus and just went roughshod.
Right.
It wasn't a national championship. Can you say Russell Wilson to Wisconsin when he left NC State?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I know they didn't win that. He took him to the Rose Bowl.
Sure.
Yeah.
Deion Sanders in San Francisco.
Yeah. All right, let me go out here to the Bay.
I'll go win a Super Bowl. I know you guys are having a tough time beating Dallas. Let me come out here. We'll beat Dallas one time.
And then I'm going to join Dallas
the next year. All right. That's what's trending. We're going to get back into a lot of those topics throughout the day. Coming up next, though, back into some Braves and Falcons. If I said Julio and Freeman are the most important two to this team's success, who would you think I was talking about? We'll get into why that's not such an easy answer coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Andy Randy.
Happy Friday here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thanks for being with us. Midday show with Andy and Randy. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll get to an NFL no huddle. A lot of different stuff to get into. His mandatory minicamp ended yesterday for the Falcons. Jarvis Davis going to join us at 11:20. He was out there all week hanging out. Talking to Dan Quinn, talking to Matt Ryan, standing uncomfortably close to Dan Quinn during his press conferences, looking like the bodyguard. Yeah, we'll chat with Jarvis coming up at 11:20 as well. You can let us know what's on your mind. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line open 404-741-0929. We're on Twitter as well. Randy McMichael at RandyMac81. I'm on Twitter at TBM929. I'll give you a shout out if you give me a follow. Say your name on the radio. And you can follow 929 The Game on Twitter at 929 The Game. We got a poll question up. Looks like a fun Friday poll question to me. And we talked about it going to break. Randy looked at me like I was crazy.
I did.
So now I'm going to try to make a case here, okay?
Please do.
The poll question is this. If you get the Julio Teheran that we've seen for his last 8 starts, and that's a big if.
Right.
But the other part of it's a big if, too. If you get the Julio Teheran we've seen his last 8 starts where he's had a .81 ERA and a healthy Devontae Freeman, because that's a big if, too. That's a big part of it. Which combo would you rather have? The Braves combination of Julio and Freeman or the Falcons combination of Julio and Freeman? Because the Braves, obviously, Julio Teheran pitching the way he's pitching. Mm. And Freddie Freeman, the most important player on the team, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
Or the Falcons, Julio Jones, and the healthy Devontae Freeman, which would be amazing as well. Which one of those two, as far as duos go, in your opinion, is more important to their team's success?
Oh, definitely Devontae and Julio Jones.
Okay.
All right, because it's football. And I mean, I love baseball, but because the Falcons, you know, it's been a while since the Braves have won one, but they got one. So, that was my logic behind it. They got one.
Yeah.
The Falcons don't got one.
And they don't.
And they need those two guys. They need a healthy
And the
Devontae
last time
Freeman.
You had a healthy Devontae Freeman,
almost got one. And then Julio Jones, I know that they can still win without him during the regular season. They ain't winning no Super Bowl without him, though. You know what I'm saying? I think the Braves can win a World Series without Julio Teheran. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's been pitching great. The reverse jinx has been working for quite a while right now. But, I mean, if he goes back to the old Julio, all they're going to do is just move him up out. Well, I think they will move him up out of there, but we know how Sneaker loves him.
What can the Braves do without Freddie, though?
Nothing.
Right. And so that's why, and then Freddie to me is the trump card because, look, obviously, if you're ranking them in terms of most important to their team success, I think Julio Teheran probably comes in fourth out of those four.
Okay.
And Freddie Freeman probably comes in first to me out of those four.
Okay.
But then Julio Jones and Devontae Freeman are in the middle at second and third.
Right.
I guess the question is how much more important is Freddie Freeman to the success of the Braves than Julio Jones and Devontae Freeman are to the success of the Falcons? Because here's the thing. Devontae didn't play last year, and the Falcons went 7-9.
Exactly.
A big part of why the Falcons went 7-9 was because Devontae didn't play last year.
Right.
I think they still make the playoffs, though, if the defense is healthy.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I think they do, too, but still. I ain't going to give you that way. And I'm sitting there thinking like, what? Is it as obvious as I'm looking at it, or is it really a debate?
I think it is probably as obvious as you're looking at it.
Okay.
And I agree with you, too. I'm trying to make a case for the other one.
Okay.
And the case for the other one is Freddie Freeman.
Okay.
The case for the other one is Freddie Freeman.
But you didn't say that. You said both of them, though.
Well, and the other case for the Braves combo is the if, which is if Julio Teheran can continue to be the guy that he's been.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason he asked this question is because both these guys were vital to the win yesterday. Julio Teheran goes six innings and gives up an earned run.
They were.
He's given up, what, four earned runs in his last eight starts?
He's been balling.
He's been fantastic.
He has been awesome.
I think we're clouding the answer to this question with the reality that Julio Teheran can't do this forever. But I think you also have to, if you're going to do that, think about how likely or unlikely it is that Devontae Freeman is going to play another NFL football season as a healthy NFL football player. Like, what would make – like, I hope he does. I hope Devontae Freeman plays all next season healthy. That would be phenomenal. And
right.
It would be very important to the Falcons' success. But how likely is it that a guy who's obviously just getting older, as everyone is, literally – that's always funny when someone says he's not getting any younger. That's true of all of us. Everyone's getting older every
correct.
Day. But a guy who hasn't played a healthy season in a couple seasons now is going to do that this season. I hope that he does, but like, and that's to me the thing that still gives me the most trepidation about the Falcons in 2019. We agree. So much of the offensive success is based on the health of Devontae Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really big if.
Is it based more off Devontae Freeman or those guys up front block for Matt Ryan?
Both.
I think it's both.
Both, but
I think it's both.
I agree with you. I think the offensive line has to be really good, and I think the offensive line blocks for Devontae, too.
Like, I'm sorry, Devontae. Yes.
I think that helps, too, but Devontae being on the field, look, Ito Smith is fine. And
he ain't Devontae Freeman.
I'm interested to see what Allison can be. No, none of them are.
Man.
So, I mean, that's why Devontae has the contract he has, and that's why he's been, when healthy, so vital to the Falcons' offensive success. But again, like that. That's the if of it. That's the part of it that makes it tricky. We believe in Freddie and Julio Jones. They're both givens.
We are enjoying what Julio Teheran is doing.
Mm-hmm.
But are we like believing in that? As far as like you said, is he going to be able to keep doing this?
Well, probably not.
He will as long as I keep reverse jinxing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course he'll be able to do it. But at the same time, Julio, it's a possibility Julio might miss one or two games this year. But they can still win.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for me to believe that the Braves can still win without Freddie Freeman.
Yeah, and that's the thing that we've seen. There's sort of a track record of Julio Jones, even back in 16. He missed three games. They won all of them.
Against inferior opponents.
Okay, that's true. There was six games where he had less than 40 yards receiving. They were 6-0 in those games.
Uh-huh.
So Julio Jones, while incredibly important, the offense can exist without him. But
right.
The thing, too, about Julio Jones, which I also think is true about Freddie Freeman, is even if he doesn't go out there and give you 150 yards and two touchdowns, the attention that
right.
he attracts from the
right.
defense. Well, Freddie Freeman doesn't have to go out there and go 5 for 5 every single day. He helps out the guys that are batting in front of him because you have to be more selective when you're pitching to Freddie Freeman or when you're pitching to the guy who bats in front of Freddie Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
I think he helps protect the guys that are around him in the lineup. So, no, I mean, look, I agree with you, too. I think that the answer to the poll question, and the voters do also, 67% of almost 200 votes say that the Falcons combination of Julio and Freeman, Jones and Devontae, are more valuable to the team's success? Or which combo would you rather have? The Braves combo of Julio and Freeman is getting 33% of the vote. So two-thirds of the people that are voting say that they would choose that.
Right.
But it's an interesting debate.
Right.
Or at least it was hopefully going to be. I mean, maybe it isn't.
I'm not saying it's not an interesting debate. I just thought it was more one-sided than anything. But I mean, there are people who are looking at it as Freddie Freeman and Julio Teheran, that they are viable to their success just because Julio's pitching well. I don't think you can put Freddie in it because we already know how important Freddie is to the success of the Braves. Julio Teheran is how he's been pitching lately. It's beneficial for the Braves right now. But how long can, like you said, how long can he keep this up?
I know, but that's the hypothetical. If you get him to stay like that, right? But well, let me ask it to you this way then.
Do you believe he's going to stay like that?
I don't know. Maybe. It's been eight starts now. Eight starts is a lot.
I hope so.
What do you trust more, though? Do you trust Julio Teheran to pitch like this, or do you trust Devontae Freeman to stay healthy for a football season? Because I trust Julio Teheran to pitch well more than I trust Devontae to stay healthy at this point of his career. And again, I hope Devontae stays healthy. Like, if Devontae is great all year next year, that's great. And the Falcons have a really good chance to go to the playoffs and maybe back to the Super Bowl.
I got to go with Teheran because, you know, Freeman, I mean, Devontae Freeman, he's been nicked up the last 2 years. So, I mean, you got to go with Teheran, I guess.
Which is what makes it an interesting debate.
Yeah.
I think, again, that's hopefully it was
because
you keep
switching up the order of the question and keep trying to make that point. That I don't want to accept.
Which is what?
That damn Teheran and Freddie might be more because of the ifs. I mean, running back is a tough, hard position, and he's been nicked up. He's been concussed and all that stuff. And I don't think he's going to change his running style, so it could be a possibility.
My other argument for Freddie Freeman and Julio Teheran is that I still consider Freddie Freeman to be the most important player on the Braves team right now.
I do, too.
Julio Jones is not the most important player
on the Falcons.
He's the
best player on the team.
He might be. But Matt Ryan is the most important player on the team.
My position.
Yeah, he's a quarterback. Yeah. Okay. Freddie Freeman's your three-hole hitter who plays first base. I mean, he's to me, the most valuable player on the roster. Now, Ronald Acuna is the best player on the roster.
He is.
Much like Julio Jones is the best player on the Falcons, but Matt Ryan is the most important. You can vote on the poll question.
Well, who's more important, Julio Teheran or Devontae Freeman?
Devontae Freeman.
Okay.
But who do you trust more to be up
I'm to not
the
asking,
standard?
I'm not worried about the trust part. I'm just saying, who's more important of the two?
Devontae Freeman is massively more important. You can vote on the poll question at 929 The Game right now. If you get the Julio you've seen the last eight starts and a healthy Devontae, which combo would you rather have? Julio Teheran and Freddie Freeman, or Julio Jones and Devontae Freeman? We'll come back and get into an NFL no huddle coming up next, including why Matt Ryan's contract is just going to continue to get better. After this on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, man.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.